Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
So I just saw a video of Stephen A. Smith having an issue with LeBron on a golf course with a bunch of white boys, as he put it, talking about Memphis and how they should move to Nashville. And if you've been paying attention on social media, it's kind of a trending topic right now. I played in Memphis, got a lot of love for the city, but there's no doubt that the city needs to upgrade when it comes to its facilities for pro players. But Stephen A., you shouldn't have a problem with that. You're talking about his words and what they mean to the black community. But you've been the same man in front of the camera for the last handful of months, disrespecting Serena Williams, disrespecting Jasmine Crockett, disrespecting Kamala Harris, and tap dancing for the whole Republican Party, the whole white Republican Party. But you got an issue with LeBron talking about a trending topic, and his words carry weight, and he doesn't understand what his words can do to the black community. Do you understand the bullshit you're talking and what that can do to the black community? We all used to have a lot of love for you, bro, particularly Bink, because you looked out. But we're not going to forget the bullshit you're on right now.
Welcome to the latest edition of Straight Shooter. Courtesy of my YouTube channel and the whole bit. That was Matt Barnes, former NBA player, host on All the Smoke podcast, somebody that I thought was a friend, somebody that I had aspirations to be in business with, somebody that I thought would have the courtesy to reach out and call me before I saw that shit he just said on social media. You know, this is going to be a very interesting podcast episode today, to say the least. Because contrary to what people may want me to do, I am not going to disrespect Matt Barnes the way that he just disrespected me. I got a lot of love for that brother. As he himself said on the video, I've looked out in the past, because I got a lot of love for him. He's a brilliant brother. For the most part, good and decent. He's had his own issues in the past or whatever. That's his business. I ain't going there. But what that video just showed was some straight bullshit. And I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would associate straight bullshit with him. But that's exactly what I'm calling it. I'm not hard to find. I'm right here. Matter of fact, Matt Barnes, since you so confident that what I'm talking about is straight bullshit, or I'm tap dancing for white Republicans, or I'm disrespecting Serena Williams and Kamala Harris and Jasmine Crockett, you welcome to come on the show. Hell, I pay the expenses. I fly you right in. Come on the show. We can debate that topic. We can have that conversation face to face, man to man, with the cameras rolling. When Steven Jackson clapped at me a few months ago or last year over the Russell Westbrook stuff that was completely misconstrued and misreported, not by me, I offered to come on y'all show. I invited both of y'all on here, but you came on, Matt. He did it. Nobody backing up. This is some straight BS y'all coming with. So let's talk about it. Let's dissect everything that's transpired. So none of us hiding. You got people out here wanting me to sit up there and say, you know, it's all for clicks and all. I know you're a real one, dog. I ain't coming at you like that. And contrary to popular belief, no matter what the hell y'all have said, still got love for you and Stacks. But what you just did, what I just saw, that was fucked up on a multitude of levels. So I'm just going to address it one by one. Okay? Couple of things. Let's talk about LeBron. Why y'all all act? I mean, were y'all flamethrowers? You employed by the brother? Why are we overreacting to every damn thing that he's LeBron? He makes news. I report on it. I'm not an influencer. It's my job. It's my job. First Take is on the show on the airwaves, 10 a.m. to 12 noon every weekday morning. SiriusXM is on the air from 1 to 3 p.m. every afternoon. Forget my political show for a second. Forget the fact that I own my own production company. Forget the fact that I own my own YouTube channel. I just gave you two jobs where I'm obligated to address the news. Y'all volunteering. Influencers. I'm a reporter. It's my job. I ain't just sitting up there smoking some weed and then I decide, yo, I want to get this off my chest. Looking like I'm doing one of them Spike Lee videos where I'm strolling on some chair or whatever while I'm talking shit about somebody I'm supposed to be cool with. I'm doing my job. So let me do that job. LeBron James is critical of Memphis. What I said was, because Memphis, the city, is 63% black. And you're talking about the team needing to move from Memphis to Nashville. We know that economically they struggle. We know that once upon a time, crime, pestilence, etc., homicides, murders, thefts, etc., was real prevalent. And then Paul Young came in there and has admittedly and has definitely steered the city in the right direction. And major props to the mayor. But it's still an issue. What I was saying was, knowing how economically ravaged the departure of the Memphis Grizzlies would be, it's not a great look for one of the greatest players in the history of basketball to flippantly discuss the matter on a golf course with a bunch of cats that don't look anything like the 63.5% of the population in Memphis. That the subject needed to be treated with more seriousness than it deserved. That's it. I didn't say LeBron James was awful. I didn't say that he was terrible. I didn't say anything. I'm just saying, yo, because of who you are, might want to be careful. And it warranted that? That's what it warranted? Do y'all understand how this is throwing me off? All the Smoke had me on their podcast years ago just to give me my flowers for who I am and what I've represented. I ain't changed. When I was in contract talks and my money was thrown all over the place and people were speculating about what bag was coming down the pike for me, wasn't it Matt Barnes that said this? Stephen A. Smith is one of the biggest personalities, and we're hearing talks that he possibly could get a $100 million contract as a media member. There's still friendly competition on the side of the game as well, because as the money gets bigger for the game, that means the money is going to get bigger for the media. Wasn't it Matt Barnes that said that? Wasn't it me that had been seen on countless occasions talking about, I want everybody to get their bag. I'm happy that people are piggybacking off of me. I'm happy that you're in a position to get paid. And oh, by the way, don't go by just what I say. Use me as the conduit for conversation to springboard off of so you can have something to say and you can get paid too. That wasn't me. I think it was me. Was that me, Josh? That was me. I did that. Because I'm not rooting against anybody. I'm rooting for y'all. That doesn't require you to agree with me. It doesn't require you to it doesn't require you to have your own opinions. This is a conversation about respect. Matt Barnes, you know that on my worst day, I would never talk about you like that. Not in a million goddamn years. Not in a million years. You know that. Why? How? Because I've had ample opportunity to do so, and I never have. Not in your entire career. I've always looked out. I've always big upped. I've always had nothing but profound respect for you. And I got to see you on social media popping shit about me like that? Really? Over some shit about LeBron? And then come to find out, it ain't even about LeBron. I'll get into that in a second. But just to make sure that I'm not hypocritical here, what were we really talking about with LeBron? I'm sitting there saying, be careful about being so flippant. That's it. Be in a serious confine. Address the issue with the seriousness that it's going to deserve, because it's going to affect the lives of a lot of black people. That's it. I didn't say that the brother don't have his I Promise program. I didn't say that he hasn't done things for the community. I didn't say that he wasn't one of the best people in the world, one of the greatest ambassadors in sports we've ever seen, who's a relatively good dude, regardless of my differences with him. It don't mean, I don't hate him. I'm over all of that. I want him to do well. I want us to celebrate him. But when he does something that makes news, if it's for the wrong reasons, I got to call it like I see it, because that's my job. Just like when he's busting everybody's butt and looking like he's 10 years younger and doing all the things that he's doing to uplift himself and the Lakers. I talk about him positively like I did the week before and the week before that and the month before that. But you forgot about that, didn't you, Matt Barnes, didn't you? And why did you forget about that? Because I actually pointed out LeBron on a golf course doing this.
So does the travel get worse for you? Or
fuck yeah.
Yeah, it just wears on you more?
Yeah, a random fucking Tuesday in Milwaukee staying at the fucking Hyatt at 41 years old. You think I'm going to do that shit? Being in Memphis on a fucking random ass Thursday? I'm not like the first guy I even talk about in the NBA. Like, we all like, you guys have to move. Just go over to Nashville. You got Vanderbilt over there. You got the fucking NASCAR. You got a stadium. Don't they got a hockey team too?
Yeah Predators. Yeah.
Predators. Yeah.
Like, they got everything.
Doesn't look like LeBron's going to be on the Grizzlies anytime soon, so Grizzly fans out there.
Yeah, they know. Their only chance was in 2003 if they had won the lottery to get me there. And I might have pulled a Eli Manning and not showed up.
Saying all of that, staring into the camera with a big-ass smile on his face. That's what I disagreed with. How do you know that I'm telling the truth? Because LeBron James wasn't the only one that said something about Memphis before. Kevin Durant said something about Memphis. Anthony Edwards said something about Memphis. Draymond Green said this about Memphis.
Memphis, which should probably be in Nashville, should be an Eastern Conference team. Definitely should be in Nashville. It should be an Eastern Conference team. I think, you know, when I've played in actually several playoff series against Memphis. Flying to Texas is bad enough. Flying all the way to Memphis for a playoff series. So, Adam, let's not charge them a relocation fee, please. Let them just do us all a favor. And take the team to Nashville. It's a swap. You leave that arena, you ain't got to pay the relocation fee. Go to Nashville.
See? Draymond said relatively the same thing. But he was in front of a microphone on his show addressing the seriousness of the situation, and he just had his opinion. As opposed to being on a golf course, surrounded with a bunch of cats And I don't know their history. I don't know who they are. I don't know their background. I don't know anything. I just know they don't represent the 63.5% of Memphis, folks from Memphis who happen to be black. So I was talking about LeBron needing to handle it with an elevated level of sensitivity, because what's going to happen to Memphis if that team departs? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Barnes, you don't get paid as a league. You got the relocation fee that Draymond was asking them to waive, but the real money comes from expansion, not relocation. So it's really not about how much it's going to help people. It's about how much it's going to hurt Memphis. They ain't got no baseball team. They got no football team. They lose the NBA team. In that city, what do they have? What do they have? So whether you agree or disagree, I'm just saying, yo, it has to be treated with a level of seriousness. Let's not be hypocritical. You know who else talked about Memphis? Long before LeBron James ever publicly opened his mouth. Long before Draymond Green opened his mouth. Do you know who that was? That would be me. While the Morris twins, who, by the way, I missed on First Take and would love to have back on First Take, the Morris twins were on the show with me when I did it, and they agreed with me. But in case you think I'm just pointing a finger at LeBron, which I wasn't, take a look.
The people in Memphis is a great sports town, great fans, great people. But there's an element there where cats like Jimmy Butler and others don't feel it's the safest environment. I'm talking to the local authorities in Memphis. You got to clean some of that stuff up because it's dissuasive to NBA players. They have talked about it. I know, they've told me.
Yes, they did. And I called out the elected officials, law enforcement, and everybody else in the city of Memphis. How do we know I did it? Because the mayor himself, Paul Young, responded. Look, quote, Stephen called us a great sports town. Facts. Best fans in the game. True. People of Memphis, unmatched. But what he is missing is that crime is down significantly in 2024 and 2025. We're not just talking change. We're delivering it. Memphis is rising, and we've got the numbers and the heart to prove it. That was the mayor responding to me. And just the other day, he reached out to Kendrick Perkins to thank me for applauding him because the numbers have continued to improve. They've continued to drop. Homicides, murders, theft, etc. Memphis is moving in a forward direction because they got a mayor and Paul Young that's cleaned up. Shout out to Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins for recognizing the importance of Memphis as an NBA city. That was this past Friday. But Matt Barnes didn't bring that up, because Matt Barnes had a different agenda. And that agenda has very little to do with LeBron. Very little to do with sports. Matt Barnes got political. That's what he did. And when that brother, who I still love, sat up there and accused me of tap dancing, respectfully, you got me fucked up. Wrong dude. I don't tap dance for nobody. I don't even know how to tap dance. I love the late, great Gregory Hines and Glover and those cats. I don't tap dance. Let's be clear. He sat up there and this narrative that I'm not going to hide, I'm not accepting it. This narrative. Disrespecting black women. That's what somehow we go from LeBron and the city of Memphis to bringing up me disrespecting black women. I could go certain places that I'm not going to go when it comes to disrespecting women, Matt. But I wouldn't do that. Once again, I'm not going to do that. disrespecting women, I'm going to give it to all of y'all out there about Serena Williams. I can apologize to Serena Williams right now, as I have before, when she was dancing on stage at the Super Bowl off the Not Like Us jam by Kendrick Lamar for the halftime show. The reason why is because we was flippantly, what I'm accusing LeBron of on the golf course, we were flippantly, me, Shannon Sharp, and others were on First Take talking, and I flippantly said, you know what, take her ass on, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? If I was her man. When her husband came in the First Take, I was in Atlanta. Had I been in studio, I would have explained myself. And then he could have taken it wherever he wanted to take it. But I understood him coming to the defense of his wife, and that's his wife, and I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I wasn't really talking about Serena, y'all. I was talking about men. All I was trying to say at the time was, going on the stage during Super Bowl off of a diss track about your ex is showing the ex energy. And any man that I know of, that I've always known, would have a problem with that. Now, her husband is a grown man, and he probably feels differently, and he has every right to. I mean, no disrespect. I should not have done it. Fair. I apologize for that. But I was talking about the fellas, because I'm saying with fellas, if my girl is showing that kind of energy to an ex, I'm looking at you like, how come you're feeling that energy towards the ex? You have me now. What's your problem? That's where I was coming from. Open to correction by her husband, which he was perfectly within his right to sit up there and say, you know what? You're not married. Who are you to talk like? But I got it. He was right. Period. And I apologize from the bottom of my heart to Serena. No problem. We're going to put a stop to this Kamala Harris and Jasmine Crockett stuff. I'm not having it. Disrespect. So we find out one thing after another that we may have been deceived about by folks on the left leading into the last election, to ensure that they vote for us, and I speak about it, and I'm frustrated about it, and I'm pissed off that they blew an election, because to me, Trump didn't win, the Democrats lost it. And I'm being disrespectful to Kamala Harris. Matt Barnes, I thought you watched the show. You didn't see me say that she wasn't set up to win? You didn't see me go at Trump? When I sat up there and pointed out, don't be talking about her like that, challenging her IQ. This is a woman that was a former attorney general for the state, former senator, former vice president of the United States of America. Don't talk about her like that. You didn't hear that? You didn't hear me say that she took it to Trump during the debate and that she had won that debate? So I say all of these positive things. But I am critical of her because she showed up on The View when asked if there was anything about Biden and his administration that she would have done differently if she was in charge. She said she couldn't think of anything. I thought she lost the election at that particular moment in time. How is that disrespectful? How? Because I made an observation that happens to be right? I didn't disrespect her. I didn't denigrate her. And when I got ticked off because I felt lied to, and I said, and I hinted at feeling regretful that I voted for her, it didn't mean I'd vote for him, because that wouldn't happen. How is that disrespectful? How? Jasmine Crockett, you brought that up too. Disrespecting Jasmine Crockett? I apologized for being associated with any kind of content that would allow Trump to think it was okay to call her low IQ. I was the one that pointed out that she was licensed to practice law in Texas Arkansas, and federally. It was her own mother who came up to me and thanked me for speaking so positively about her daughter when she showed up in New York to appear on The View. Did you bring that up, Matt Barnes? We did it on this show. But because I question that you in Texas, not New York, not California, liberal states, sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, liberal policies. No. It's Texas. Down south, down yonder, down there. Where they live by a different set of rules. Where I sat back and pointed out how I was in Austin, Texas, for South by Southwest Conference a couple of years back. And in the middle of watching an episode of Martin Lawrence, the program was interrupted at 1:30 in the morning to put on the national anthem. Why does that happen in a liberal city? Texas is different. It's different. So I said, Jasmine Crockett, do you think it's wise for you to be calling the president a piece of bleep on the national airwaves when you represent 766,000 people? You know he's petty enough to use them to come after you. You know the redistricting effort is coming into play. And on top of that all, there's a Senate seat that's ripe for you to have that will allow you to represent 31 million citizens in the state of Texas, one of two senators. And you'd be in a position where you are confirming or denying Supreme Court justices. You'd be in a position where you could potentially run for a Supreme Court seat. That was me. I'm the guy that wanted her to win and was literally trying to formulate plans and schemes for her to win. Meaning schematically, putting it together. This is how I think you can beat Tellerico. This is how I think you can win the state of Texas. You had people on the right who even admitted, had she listened to me, she'd have won. I was trying to help her win. But Matt Barnes didn't bring that up. Instead, this brother accused me of tap dancing. Now, Matt Barnes, I don't know what your definition of tap dancing is, but I'm going to show you what my definition of it could be. Play that Gavin Newsom clip, please.
I want to ask you something, because I had a chance, some friends of mine organized a sit down with Mayor Karen Bass about a month and a half ago. And obviously, California is a big, beautiful state who's easy to attack. And I feel like, again, this kind of goes back to messaging. The positive steps moving forward are never highlighted. It's always the small cracks or the lies that are perpetuated and blown up into a big situation. How do you feel outside of the mission you're driving on social media? How do you feel that people that know and love California and really know what's going on, how can we help push the truth along and help get the truth out there, what is actually going on step by step in the wins that we are succeeding? Because they want to talk.
Wow. I mean, talk about hard-headed questions. I mean, stop the presses. Stop the presses. Did you see how hard-headed that was? Hey, did you see that? I'm on the air taking hits from every side of the aisle. Every side. But that man, living in the state of California, homelessness, affordability, gas prices, grocery prices, water that ain't in fire hydrants during wildfires, fraud over billions, $140 billion? What? You had that man, the governor of California, on your podcast for over an hour and 40 minutes. And that was the question you asked him about the state of California. And this man is considered arguably the leading candidate for the presidency in 2028. And you had him in front of your face in what you asked him. Did you ask him about the homeless crisis? Did you ask him about the bullet train, where billions haven't been accounted for? Did you ask him about the taxes in the state of California? Highest in the country. Any relief in sight whatsoever? No, they're trying to raise them. Did you ask him about that? The oil industry regulation. Isn't the state of California getting oil from the Bahamas? Did you ask him about that? Anything at all? Anything? How about crime? How about fraud when it came to COVID and the COVID payments? How about the 9/11 system, Matt Barnes, that hasn't worked, yet they spent hundreds of millions on it? How about what's going on with hospice in the state of California? I watched the entire interview from start to finish. You never asked that man that question. Not one of them damn questions. All the issues that are pertinent to Californians, you didn't ask a damn thing. That was the one question you asked. Just for full effect, Griff, play that damn video again so we can understand. No tap dancing going on. Okay, it was tap dancing with Stephen A, but never that. Oh, no, not with Matt Barnes with that. No. Let's play that tape again.
I want to ask you something, because I had a chance. Some friends of mine organized a sit down with Mayor Karen Bass about a month and a half ago. And obviously, California is a big, beautiful state who's easy to attack. And I feel like, again, this kind of goes back to messaging. The positive steps moving forward are never highlighted. It's always the small cracks or the lies that are perpetuated and blown up into a big situation. How do you feel, outside of the mission you're driving on social media, how do you feel that people that know and love California and really know what's going on, how can we help push the truth along and help get the truth out there, what is actually going on step by step in the wins that we are succeeding? Because they want to.
I'm sure that Gavin Newsom was telling the absolute truth when he pointed out a plethora of things, with California being the fourth largest economy in the United States of America, if not the world. Sorry, the world. Fourth largest economy. I'm quite sure there's a lot of positive things that we can point out. There's a lot of things that are misreported. There's a lot of embellishing when it comes to the negativity that is thrown in his direction. Governor Newsom, I am not here to criticize you. You're welcome on the show. But guess why? Because I want to ask you these questions. Because I'm not doing a podcast bloviating about my personal relationship with you and having a love affair, this love fest of an interview. I'm actually asking questions, which is where the rubber meets the road, Matt Barnes. Because you see, it's important that you understand there's different responsibilities that come with our job. You are an influencer, and you should be. Andre Ward, who you got under your umbrella with the boxing podcast, there's very few people on the planet I love more than that brother. He's special, good people. And I'm here to tell you, Matt Barnes, you are too. I know when you came at me, it's because your heart's in the right place and you thinking about the things that I've reportedly have stated. And as a result, you coming at me like I'm trying to hurt our community. But you should know better, because I have decades of evidence showing I've always tried to help our community. Tap dancing ain't gonna get that done. Inching, scratching, and clawing your way to the truth, or the closest that you can get to it, is what we're going to do. People want to sit up there and act like I never say any damn thing about Trump, and I don't say anything about the right. You've had over 4 100 shows. You talking about making a difference in the community? I know it's not a political show, and I'm not judging you like that, but you've done over 400 shows. Who you had on? You had on Michelle Obama. You had on Kamala Harris. You had on Raphael Warnock, Senator Raphael Warnock out of Georgia. You've had Gavin Newsom. Props to you, bro. Because as an aspiring governor or mayor in the state of California, which you have been on the record stating that you want to be, and you know a thing or two about politics because you're just too brilliant not to, because you are brilliant. The fact remains, you don't do what I do. So why are you holding me accountable for stuff regarding a lane you ain't even in? Why would I say that? Let me show you the difference between your guest and my guest. That's 48 people that have been on Straight Shooter with yours truly. 25 Democrats, 23 Republicans, 53 guests overall. I've had the Speaker of the House on this show. I've had the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee on this show. I've had a member of the House Judiciary Committee on this show. I've had governors on this show. I've had Minority Whip in the House, Hakeem Jeffries, on this show. I've had the mayor, the governor of Delaware on this show. I've had the governor of Kentucky on this show. I've had Representative Jim Clyburn out of South Carolina in front of a town hall on this show. I've had Representative Madeline Dean on this show. I've had former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel on this show. I've had Senator Cruz on this show, Governor Cox on this show, Representative Chip Roy in Texas on this show, Megyn Kelly and Sean Hannity, and Speaker Mike Johnson, Ted Cruz, Representative John Kasich, Tom Cotton, Senator Kennedy. There are folks who talk about doing stuff, talk about what they feel, like influencers do. And then there are some of us who are connected enough to make sure we talk to the people actually impacting the lives of over 350 million American citizens. I'm not an influencer. I'm a journalist who happens to have the license to give my opinion. Where in the fuck do you think I get my opinions from, Matt? You think I'm just running my mouth? You don't think information is emanating from Capitol Hill? You don't think senators and representatives and chiefs of staffs and members of their cabinets and members of the administration aren't feeding me the damn information? This is what I do. 33 years. I was covering the sport when you were playing it. You worked in Sacramento. You worked for Mayor Johnson, if I remember correctly. You had aspirations in politics, wanting to be a mayor or a governor someday. They got me as a presidential candidate, and the only thing that I said is I might be interested in debate. Because this is what I do. When you hear me talking about Republicans, I get information from the Democrats and the Republicans. When you hear me talking about Democrats, I get information from Democrats and Republicans. When you hear me talking about the White House, I get it from sources who are connected to the White House. I don't just go on and I feel this way about this. No, I'm on the phones and I'm on text message and I'm getting intel. You know me well enough to know I don't say 50% of the shit I know. I got more. But you know I never go there with anybody. I don't do that. Tap dancing? You know how fucking insulting that is? Is not tap dancing simply cussing out the president and going off and like you might do on your podcast and all of this other shit, talking about the president and the vile stuff that he does? Or is it really maneuvering through the terrain like I do and getting to the heart of the matter as to what he's doing, what his intent is, why he's doing it, etc.? Do you know that when the president went out and was so disrespectful towards the Muslim community by sitting up there and saying what he said about Iran and how they need to open the Strait of Hormuz and all of this other stuff, and then he ended it by saying, praise be to Allah. Do you know that 5 minutes after I posted on social media about how vile that was to the Muslim community, to the Islamic community, the world over, do you know it wasn't 10 minutes later that I got text messages from an abundance of people that said to me, damn it, Stephen, don't fall for the okie doke. The man wants them to think he's crazy. He's trying to get a deal done. And they know that he's willing to be trifling and ratchet and all of this other stuff because he doesn't want them to think he's predictable. He wants this stuff over and he's going to get it done in 2 weeks. You wait and see, Stephen, it's all a smokescreen. While he's sitting there talking that junk, cussing them out, going crazy, he wants to be perceived as a loose cannon just to give the impression that he's crazy enough so they can get a deal done. But why don't you tell the truth, Matt Barnes? You'd prefer that Trump followed the Obama philosophy and give $1.7 billion in cash to the Iranians in hopes that it will assuage their venom and hostility, and as a result, they won't want to kill Israelis and Americans? You want them to be Joe Biden and lift the sanctions so they can have access to stuff? So they can continue to be the number one sponsors of terrorism? I don't know this stuff off the top of my head. I'm not an expert. I'm not an aficionado. I have connections to those who do on both sides of the aisle because that's what reporters do, Matt, not influencers. There's a difference. You don't want to pay attention to that. Just like you didn't want to pay attention to all of these Trump headlines I've done just over the last 3 months. Put them up there on the screen, y'all, so Matt Barnes can see it. Trump's fucking up. Deal making decline. It was embarrassing. Keep going. My reaction to Trump's Obama family monkey post. Trump crossed the line. Wake the fuck up. The GOP is in trouble. Kristi Noem needs to go. Trump might blow midterms for the GOP. I am alarmed by what I am seeing from Trump. National embarrassment. What is Trump doing? War with Iran. That's just in the last 2 months. But I'm tap dancing. Me. I took the liberty of picking up the phone today and calling my colleague. No, former colleague, but my friend, Shannon Sharp. Because you see, Shannon Sharp gone now doing his own thing. Doesn't diminish the love I have for him one bit. I hope to get him back. just like I want Skip back, at least for a day. Just like I never want Ryan Clark to leave, or Kendrick Perkins, or Swaggoo Marcus Pierce, or a host of brothers that I got nothing but love for. Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson not being on ESPN, that ain't my fault, that's y'all's, because I'd want y'all on the show, because I love your basketball talk. I've big upped all the smoke all of these years. I've never uttered a negative syllable about y'all. Not a fucking syllable. Nothing. You talk about me like that. Where's your facts? I bring up that I called Shannon Sharp because I wanted his permission to bring up this analogy, and I didn't want to just bring some stuff up about my boy without him getting a heads up. See how that works, Matt? I want to bring up Shannon Sharp talking to Cat Williams, and I wanted to say this. I happen to know practically all of the comedians Cat Williams insulted. This is not to throw shade on Cat Williams, who I think is arguably the greatest stand-up comedian maybe of all time. Number love for him. Who has also been good to me, by the way. I'm using it to make a point. Cat Williams went on Club Shay Shay and just spewed his venom. This is not to bring that up to discuss the truth or the falsehoods about what he says and what folks on the other side are saying he was lying about or telling the truth about or whatever. This is not about that. I called Shannon because I wanted to bring it up because I wanted to let him know what one of the comedians said to me, who will remain nameless. He said to me, "I ain't worried about Shannon. Mad respect to that three-time Super Bowl champion, that Hall of Famer. Brothers doing big things, blah, blah, blah. But Stephen A., he's a former athlete that's going into this space and is doing big things. But he's still a former athlete. And so our expectations of the conversations that he may have are one way. Had that been you, Stephen A., it'd have been another. Because we expect something different from you because you are a professional journalist. See, I know in this trolling-ass world that we living in, people would have took that and ran with it and acted like I tried to disrespect Shannon Sharp, which I'm not, which is why I called them for permission to use that analogy, because that's my boy and I didn't want him to take it wrong. But it's a fact. It's not about better or worse. It's about what my career has entailed and the responsibility that comes along with it in order for me to do what I do. I can't take a LeBron James statement from Matt Barnes and use that as an excuse to go on social media without even calling him and dog him like he's a traitor to his own race. Using that, a basketball player talking about the city of Memphis and our opinions about that as an excuse to bring up me talking about black women, as if I don't love black women, as if I haven't been raised by black women with four older sisters and 15 of a vast majority of them being my nieces and nephews, and two daughters. And a history of trying to look out, not always successful, but trying to look out for black women every damn where I've been. I got my record, where's yours? We want to compare. We want to bring that up. Y'all keep fucking with me. Keep it up. Because I'm going to start bringing my own receipts. I don't mind the disagreements. I don't mind somebody correcting me if I'm wrong. I have a problem with the disrespect that's unwarranted because it's factually false. I wanted Jasmine Crockett to win. I wanted Kamala Harris, at least initially, to win. I never wanted anybody to lose to Trump. And was I enamored with Kamala Harris? No, but I damn sure was with Michelle Obama, who I still contend would have won the election. Who's the greatest first lady we've ever known? It's women college sports. It's women pro sports. It's women in this industry. It's women in professional ranks. My history speaks for me. You disagree with me, you disagree with me. But to sit up here and to try to label me that way, to associate words like misogyny and disrespect with my name, is cruel. It's wrong. It's unfair. But you can do what you want to do. I just know that when it came to the tap dancing comment, whatever you think about me, your ass put me to shame when you was talking to Gavin Newsom. The state of California, the problems it has, and you don't have a damn picture. This brother was sitting up there. I mean, Jesus. You did everything but literally bring him 2 dozen roses and hand it to him. You talking about me? No, you got love for Gavin Newsom. Understood the personal relationship and history that Stacks got with him. I got that. But he's still a governor of California. You there. You know how tough times are. Could have asked. Because I know this much about Gavin Newsom. Who, by the way, I respect. Don't always agree with, but I respect. He knows he got to be prepared to answer some questions if he sit in front of me. I got a boatload of them. And as sharp as he is, it probably would be easier than even he thinks. But he gonna get asked some questions now. Make no mistake about that. Tap dancing. Before I let you go, Matt, can you tell me if this sounds like tap dancing? Do you know why it's easy to get at the president of the United States right now, to point the finger of blame at him? Because the president of the United States is fucking up, that's why. He's messing up so badly that the Republican Party and the GOP is in a world of trouble. As we have a president who tells us 1 minute we're not at war, and then the next minute we find out we're at war, and then he gets on the phone with Iran, and he says, you know what, they've agreed to a deal with no nukes, only to hear them come out 24 hours later and say, we don't know what the hell he's talking about, because we damn sure didn't agree to that. And no matter how bad the Democrats and the Republicans are, nobody at this moment in time is worse than President Trump, the deal maker in decline. I thought you were that dude, man. What up, Don? What up, Mr. President? What's up? I thought you were that dude. Ukraine, Russia, resolved in 1 day, huh? Israel, Iran, wouldn't be no war with me, huh? We ain't trying to engage in warfare in the Middle East. No new wars, huh? The deficit, got to trim that down, huh? The cachet of President Donald Trump that is dissipating before our very eyes. Everything on the right seems to be unraveling. It seems to be chaos brewing. And I think everybody needs to pay attention to it because, damn it, it don't look like it's going to go away. Trump has gotten in his own way because he won't shut the hell up. Every time he's on camera, he looks worse. He's not coherent. He's mumbling and stumbling. You got people on the right bringing him on and just letting him ramble and just letting him talk, not realizing the more you do it, the more he sounds like Biden did. It's pretty bad, and it's getting worse. that's tap dancing her. Really. President Trump has been invited on the show. Vice President Vance has been invited on the show. Marco Rubio has been invited on the show, Secretary of State. Kristi Noem, when she was Secretary for the Department of Homeland Security, was invited on the show. Pam Bondi, when she was Attorney General, was invited on the show. Cash Patel, the head of the FBI, was invited on the show. But you know who else was invited, Matt? Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Jasmine Crockett. List goes on and on and on. They've all been invited. Republicans have either come on the show or have worked on setting a date. The Democrats have been the one hesitant. Not Akeem Jeffries, not Wes Moore, not Josh Shapiro, not all of these people, not Fetterman, not Madeline Dean, not Donna Brazile, noted, exceptional, historic strategist for the Democratic Party. There's a whole bunch of Democrats that come on the show, too. You see them right there. But some have turned it down or have flat out avoided me. They don't avoid you, Matt. I wonder why. Could it be that you so flagrantly tilt to their side that they have nothing to worry about in the form of questions? That's the only reason, because I'm certainly not questioning your intelligence. I know how brilliant you are. Again, I'm somebody that wanted to do business with you because that's how much love and respect I have for you. But to come at me like that over what? Know what you're talking about, man? I can defend every single position I have taken, even while apologizing, because it was misconstrued. And I'm responsible for how I articulate my thoughts. And I get that. I can still defend anything that I've done and said. Any day of the week. Can you? Mikasa Sukasa. You're welcome to come on this show anytime. We could debate politics. We could debate sports. We could debate my contribution to the black community, past, present, and future. We can debate who tap dance better. Whatever you want. I got no problems. Let me know. Need a flight to New York? Fly you right here. It's no problem, bro. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. I would never do on my worst day to you what you did to me. I would never disrespect you like that. This entire episode has been about me speaking in defense of myself and my character. And I'm going to tell y'all something before I get on out of here. And I'm going to show myself to be vulnerable at this particular moment in time. I don't hurt easy. I get pissed off sometimes. I get annoyed. But I don't hurt easy. I'm not thin-skinned like that. You can't do what I do for as long as I've done it and be thin-skinned. But I will tell you what has hurt me to my core. People who I thought were my friends and turn their back on me over shit like this. My politics, I'm a registered independent who's voted Democrat all my life with the exception of Republican Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey years ago because I thought his opponent, Corzine, was a crook. I'm a fiscal conservative and I'm a liberal with everything else. I just don't want to pay those California taxes and those New York taxes. You look at the Democratic Party, and what y'all see is Democratic Party. What I see is a Democratic Party that has shifted dramatically to the left, and I'm more of a centrist Democrat. You know, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Al Gore, people like that. To a lesser degree, even Hillary Clinton. You want to get on me because I don't agree with open borders? They didn't either. Obama deported 3.1 million people. Hillary caught on video. Chuck Schumer's caught on video. Biden and everybody else caught on video, decrying the state of affairs with our borders and how they needed to be closed. And it was unfair to American citizens. Is it me that's sitting up there looking at the Democratic Party and turning my back on them? Or did they turn their back on us? I'm not saying they have or hasn't or haven't. I'm saying at times it appears so. I challenge it. Because I ain't a puppet. I'm not going to sit up there and think the way you want me to think and do what you want me to do, the way that you do, you wanted me to do it without challenging. I'm a voter. I'm an American citizen. It's my job to appease you. You need to appease me if you want my vote. Very simple. I'm different than you, Matt. Remember, I'm the dude that said, stay off the weed. That was you a few months ago with Gavin Newsom. Y'all laughing about how it's been legalized. You have your proclivities, I have mine. But in all our years, when we had a disagreement about weed, I brought you right on First Take and I put it right up there. When we needed to promote All the Smoke, I brought you right up there. I put you up there. When you needed me on All the Smoke, I showed up. When I needed you on this show, you showed up. We've been cool for years. Nothing but love for you. Countless, countless, countless occasions. As you said, I've always had your back. You had to go on social media and talk about me like that? That ain't right, bro. That ain't right. But you have a right to do what you want to do. You are an influencer, after all. All the Smoke. You and Stacks done a hell of a job. Ain't nobody rooting against y'all. And even with everything that I said, oh, you invited on my show. But I'll come on yours too. You come on mine, I'll come on yours. Matter of fact, I'd like to say this to you and Stacks. Feel free to come on my show. I'm happy to come on your show in front of both of y'all faces. And debate everything. LeBron, Draymond, even though I got love for Draymond too. KD, even though I got love for him too. Politics, social issues, name the time and place and I will show the fuck up. Ain't nobody hiding. Nobody. Y'all must be out y'all damn mind. Thinking that I'm going to sit idly by and let you talk about me like that when I know who the hell I am and what I stand for. My entire professional career has been about striving to do not just for myself, but on behalf of my community in the business and outside the business. I have sacrificed for over 30 freaking years, making one sacrifice after another. Looking out for cats on countless bases, long before the advent of podcasts came into play, when y'all could not look out for yourselves. You couldn't speak up for yourselves because there wasn't podcasts available. And you had cats like me putting my ass on the line, fighting for people like y'all. And I still do it. I still do it. And I'm going to continue to do it. I don't give a damn I ain't just a black man, I'm a brother. And I'ma always look out for my people, just not the way you want. I'm not gonna look out for you by telling you everything is okay and kissing your ass and saying the stuff that one party wants me to say. Bump them! Work for my vote, flatter me. Last but not least, last point. And I hope you're still listening because I want you to understand this. On many occasions in the past, I've given speeches. And I remember one in particular that really rubbed people the wrong way because I went up on stage at the University of Vanderbilt years ago. And I said, in my perfect world, every black person in America would vote Republican for one election. People were appalled. And I said, good. Allow me to explain. Since 1964, Civil Rights Act, 1965, Voting Rights Act, when Lyndon B. Johnson said that if we pass this legislation, the Negroes will be giving us their vote for the next 200 years. The vast majority of American citizens who happen to be black have given our vote to the Democratic Party. And we've done so in such flagrant fashion that in my humble opinion, which I think is pretty damn close to factual, we've given the Democratic Party a license to take us for granted. And we've alienated the Republican Party so much, they don't have to cater policies towards our needs and our desires. And as a result, that has left us as the lone disenfranchised community in this country. The Jews ain't disenfranchised. The Latino community isn't disenfranchised. Catholics, Protestants, hell, even Native Americans. I mean, who's disenfranchised? Who's devoid of representation? It's been us. So my purpose in stating what I stated when I was on stage giving those speeches was just to upset the apple cart, to make sure that for one election, we went in a completely opposite direction, thereby getting the party that we've supported up on their toes, reminding them that they have our interests to cater to as well, and giving the other party a ray of hope that they could potentially get our vote, which makes both parties work to get it, which means we get represented correctly. Whether you agree or disagree with that philosophy, tell me how in God's name that's selling out. Tell me how in God's name that's hurting us. We're hurting us. Because rather than sit down like grown-ups and discuss the issue or the issues, we lean towards denigration and personal attacks and castigating and character assassinating people based on something we don't like that they've said. I'm not doing that on Straight Shooter. Republicans are going to be invited on this show. Democrats are going to be invited on this show. You black and you influential, all the better. Because I want this to be a platform that you can come to. A matter of fact, in my perfect world, I'd have my own version of real time. Where I'm bringing folks from both sides of the aisle to discuss the issues so we can find some uniformity to some degree and we can actually work to get things done or at least be decent and respectful to one another to have these conversations so we can all be enlightened and we walk away learning from one another instead of being vitriolic towards one another. That's all I'm after. On this show, when I go to ESPN, I do sports. Here, I do what the hell I want to do. And that's going to be continuing to be me and calling it like I see it. Based on evidence and based on input from people I care about and that I trust and that I know care about me, cares about my well-being, and that trust me. I thought that's how Matt Barnes felt about me. Based on what I saw on social media over the weekend, I guess I was misinformed. My bad. Saddens me. But my bad. I will not make that mistake again. Y'all have a nice evening. Wednesday night, Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Over the airways of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124. Once again, there are influencers, and then there are journalists who happens to have platforms that allow them to engage in pundancy and commentary. That has been my career for 33 years and counting. I'm not better or worse. I'm just different than most. Because my job description and my obligation calls for it. If that ruffles your feathers, I don't know what to tell you. Take care, everybody. I'm out.